Welcome back to Rockhound Radio, your podcast for gaming and then everything and anything in between. From ghosts and ghouls to Bigfoot to horror myths to Pokemon to D&D, we got it all here. Thanks for tuning in. What is up, everybody? Welcome back to the show. It is Friday. Another week has went by and the weekend has come again. Hopefully, you know, everybody's got spring fever. Hopefully the weather is turning out to be nice because I am doing a little bit of a batch record. So I'm just guessing that the weather's going to be nice, at least not guessing, but more or less hoping. So yeah, let's just jump right into it today. We're still kind of playing it by ear. Like I said, we're batch recording, so be on the lookout for the D&D episodes for our campaign, our little side adventure to be going live, I don't know, sometime soon, hopefully in the next month or so, or sooner. But other than that, we are going to jump into we're getting back to the weird, wild side of the show. Last week, we talked about the eclipse and a whole bunch of weird shit that people did or still do or whatever, you know what I mean, as far as the sun going away and, you know, this, that, and the other. But this week, we are jumping back onto the fucking crazy train again. And it does feel nice because I will say, I don't know, hopefully I think you could probably tell a difference in the audio quality. We are back to recording on the old mic. So we got a little bit of a better setup going on than we did last week. So yeah, we're kind of slinking back into the norm, right? So this week, what would be more fitting than to talk about something crazy? So there is some movies on Netflix that I would highly recommend you watch. Split, and then directly following it, there's a sequel to it, Glass. And Split, I think it came out in like 2016 or 2019, somewhere along those lines. Maybe Glass came out in 2019. Either way, they are both really good movies, and I think it kind of like explores the whole like DID, which is like a mental disorder, dissociative identity disorder. And I just kind of like, it just kind of the thought popped in my head, right? I was like, I wonder how many like actual cases, which there have been like a small number of, God, sorry, I got something in my freaking eye. There's been a few cases like the internet's weird about some things. It's like tough for me to stake my pledge and something as kind of wild as this being like, anyway, that's not the point. The point is this story where they talk about dissociative identity disorder, the woman who created 2,500 personalities to survive. Now, this is quite wild. Essentially, in a nutshell, this dissociative identity, DID, is basically where a person has severe like mental trauma and or just trauma in general, and they basically fabricate these other identities to take care of the person who was abused, whether that's mentally, physically, sexually, whatever it was. But several personalities, and they can range from any age to any gender to any kind of, you know, anything really, which is kind of fascinating because if you think about it, it's all just recesses of your brain. Like that's all stuff that you have in your brain that's just kind of like hanging out, right? That only these people are kind of like reaching into and tapping into to like fully, I don't know, almost manifest themselves into a different persona. But this was probably, this is pretty horrifying. Anyway, we're going to get into the story. There was only one woman in the witness stand that day, but out of her came six people prepared to testify about the extreme abuse she had suffered. And this comes from a BBC article from 2019 out of Sydney, Australia. It says, I walked into court, I sat down, I made the oath, and a few hours later, I got back into my body and walked out, Jenny Haynes told the BBC. As a child, Jenny was repeatedly raped, tortured by her father, Richard Haynes, in what Australian police say is one of the worst child abuse cases in the country. To cope with the horror, her mind used an extraordinary tactic, creating new identities to detach her from the pain. When the abuse was so extreme and so persistent, she says she ultimately generated 2,500 distinct personalities to survive. In the landmark trial in March, Jenny confronted her father to present evidence against him through her personalities, including a four-year-old girl named Symphony. It is believed to be the first case in Australia and perhaps in the world where a victim diagnosed with multiple personality disorder, MPD or DID, has testified in their other personalities and secured a conviction. We weren't scared. We had waited such a long time to tell everyone exactly what he had did to us, and now he can't shut us up, she said. On September 6th, Richard Haynes, now 74, was sentenced to 45 years in jail by Sydney Court. So they're like, you know, you're essentially never... He would be like, what, 129 or something like that? Yeah, 11 or 119. Chances are he'll never make it. And what I need to do is an episode, like a prison politics episode. Because that is actually, you know what, that's actually a really good idea. If anybody's like prison, you know, like crime junkies, or you watch this stuff on TV. But yeah, can you, like, oh my God, it's fucking insane to me. The Haynes family moved from Bexley Heath in London to Australia in 1974. Jenny was 4 years old, but her father had already begun his abuse, and in Sydney, this escalated into sadistic, near daily violations. Says, oh my God, I didn't know this story went on and on. God, it's horrifying. My dad's abuse was calculated as it was planned. It was deliberate, as he enjoyed every minute of it, Jenny told the court in the victim impact statement in May. She waived her anonymity rights as a victim of abuse so her father could be identified. He heard me beg, heard him to stop, heard me cry. God, this is like fucking... I didn't really want to get into like all this, I don't think. I just want to kind of like talk about the DID. Yeah. Anyway, I just kind of wanted to bring that to light, that I guess not, I mean, yeah, her story, because what an amazing story for, first of all, but just like I just wanted to like hit on the mind thing, right? Like the brain and the mind is such a weird, I don't know, it's like a weird little utility / fucking magical jack in the box, because you really sometimes don't know like what you're gonna get, what you're capable of, what your mind can really do. There's just so many things that I feel, it just, man, it's just kind of insane to me. But yeah, can you imagine having all these different personalities to be able to like guide you through your, and I don't even, I'm saying this and it sounds like I'm saying it lightly, but you know, essentially imagine having different personalities just to be able to make it through your day, through your daily, like the regimen of torture, whatever that was. It's just like a, man, it's a weird heightened like mind function. You know what I mean? But yeah, anyway, if you're interested in any of that kind of stuff, there's a plethora of stuff online. And then if you just want to get into like the more the movie side of it, like the kind of, I don't know, because we'll just call it like the cinematic side of it, right? The more fictional side of it, with the movies, they do a pretty cool job at displaying the different like tropes and going back and forth. And I will say from an actor standpoint, the guy that plays Kevin in the movie Split and in Glass, the main character, he is a phenomenal actor. The fact that he really sells it, you know what I mean? So like if you just like get engulfed in a movie and you just like give a movie all your attention, he really like captures you into like making you believe that he is all these different personalities. Anyway, yeah, the brain, the mind, it's crazy. What I wanted to jump into, something else that my brother-in-law and I have been talking about, actually. It's always kind of like a conversation that comes up, like when we start talking about like weird, just kind of like out-of-pocket wild shit, is... Oh, excuse me, I guess. Just how weird it is walking in the woods or just being out in the woods in general by yourself. And which we always kind of like circle back to like all the missing people in like national parks and just overall weird shit, man, that like you see in the, like I've spent a lot of time in the woods fishing by myself, mushroom hunting, just kind of, you know, hiking, whatever it may be. I guess most of the time I was hiking, I was with somebody, but like the fishing and mushroom hunting, there's been plenty of times where I've been out in the woods and, you know, like everybody gets like an eerie feeling, or you know, just kind of like, oh man, I feel like somebody's watching, or you just, you know, like the hairs on the back of your neck stand up. But I will say there are some spots in the woods that you definitely like get a weird feeling, like, man, you know, what the hell's really like going on here? Especially like I've been in the woods, and I think I've actually talked about this before, but I've like been in the woods before and found like one of the coolest things I think is like finding old house foundations, like out in the middle of the woods where, you know, like some of the places we found them is like public land where you can just imagine however many, you know, probably realistically a couple hundred years ago, like, you know, that there was an old little shack that sat there and, you know, they did this or did that. And it's just like kind of crazy to think in our like modern day, it's hard, right, for our mind to like wrap around and picture somebody basically like roughing it out in the wild. But it's just like a weird feeling, man. And you like find these old homesteads, and like a lot of them, when I say homestead, you know, I don't mean you're walking in the woods and you find an old abandoned house. But, you know, and I'm sure that, you know, if that happens, you're like, God, don't even get near it. But what I'm talking about is like just finding like remnants of like block foundation, right, where you see that there were several blocks later, like laid around for a foundation for a house or whatever it may be. But yeah, it's definitely a fucking cool and creepy thing. So lately what I've been doing, last couple of times I've been in the woods by myself, is like I found a couple weird ass trees, and I just think that, like, I don't know, I sound like such like a nature nerd, but just the fact of like how gnarled and how big some of these trees get, like, you just kind of like, if you think about it, like, you know, trees that get massive have been there for hundred, like, I don't want to say hundreds of years, let's see, like, average lifespan of a tree between 50 to 300 years. An average lifespan of trees, 50 years to 300 years, depending on the species. Some can live for much longer. For example, the bristlecone pine can live for more than 5,000 years, while the black cottonwood has been known to reach 200. So there you have it. You, like, you know, you could potentially be looking at a tree that's a couple hundred years old and just like thinking, like, where you're standing, that this tree's like withheld the test of time. But yeah, I just like see these like weird little like niches in nature, and I like take a picture or a quick video because they're just like too fucking cool not to, you know what I mean? But there are a lot of like weird and creepy, like the weird creepy vibes. There's been several times where I used to fish in like strip mine ponds that were, you know, basically in high walls or up along, or yeah, blah, blah, blah. That doesn't make any sense. I used to fish in strip mine ponds, and then around them were like big high walls and things like that. So you would like get back into these ponds and you'd be fishing, and, you know, me, I'd just be out there just doing my own thing, right? And then, you know, every now and then you'd glance up to like the high wall, and it's like, you know, 100 foot or whatever it is. It's pretty, you know, some of them in some of these strip mine ponds, like, they're, you know, the freaking rock walls are like sheer cliffs, and you'll hear like rocks coming down in the middle of the day and hit the water, and you just like constant, like, my mind constantly wondered, like, yeah, rocks are falling, that's like, you know, that's a thing. But what we're gonna do is we're gonna jump into a quick break, and we'll be right back. Alrighty, everybody, welcome back from break, and I didn't mean to like cut myself off there right before we went into break, but yeah, I was getting a phone call, so we are back. And yeah, I just kind of wanted to, you know, that's just like my creepy experience. And I will say, and I'm pretty sure I talked about this before, but my scary experience has been, I won't go into detail, but like a beaver had kind of tailed me one time in a pond. I kind of got too close to its little like beaver hut or whatever that was underwater, beaver dam, and I could hear it like coming up and out of the water behind me like 20-30 yards, and I like see its head for a little bit, and then it'd go underwater, and then I'd see his head for a little bit, and he'd go underwater, and I'm like, man, this is like fucking weird. Like, you know, you just kind of get that feeling sometimes when you're in the woods, even when there is nothing there. Chances are there's nothing, but, you know, on that, like, the probability and the possibility of life, there is always a chance for anything to happen. So I wanted to kind of swing back around to like the whole national parks thing. So here are some, just some like, I guess some little, I don't know, creepy, crawly stuff about national parks, because it like fascinates me, man. The vast wilderness and big parts like mountains or just fucking like big ass woods, man, with like no civilization, like nobody, no people, is just fascinating to me. It's true, a true, I don't know, it's like truly beautiful, you know what I mean? So this is kind of, I'm just going to read this from the website. Have you ever heard a strange sound when walking through the woods or come across an abandoned cabin? These are typical experiences while exploring the outdoors, but they are also root to of many scary stories. Yosemite, or yeah, Yosemite National Park, one of the nation's most well-known parks, is certainly not immune to paranormal reports. In 1857, Galen Clark, the park's first ranger, reported a strange wailing sound coming from Grouse Lake. Believing it was a puppy that was lost, he thought little of it. But when he asked a group of native people at their camp, they told him that the sounds belonged to a boy who drowned long ago. Since that time, howls at passerbys to this day, tales of Grouse Lake ghosts are still told within the park. The fucking ghost stories, blah. That was fucking lame. Not, I shouldn't. I don't ever like want to be like, that sucks. And it's like, oh God, you know, a child died down there. But it's just kind of like, I don't know. It almost seems like this is kind of like a fucking one of the. And I've talked about different lists before, but this feels like it's one of the like, oh yeah, check out our top 10. You won't believe what's number one. So yeah, we're gonna just leave that. It is. Well, I will say, to bring us back around and stay in the national park lane, is the fucking amount, the amount of disappearances, that, and then there is a map. So I found this website that basically they took a map of the U.S. and basically what I read from the article is kind of like, well, we made a map of all the mysterious cases of people vanishing without a trace, and then here's a map laying a layout of like the major cave systems. So, and then they like match these two maps up, right? And then they're like, well, this evidence is kind of inconclusive, because if you really, sorry, I'm turning back and forth away. I'm trying to get, I got shit falling all around me. My office is a wreck. They're like, oh, that just doesn't really match up, because, you know, people disappear here, the caves are here, and this, that, and the other. The thing is, you know, I'm drawing two conclusions from this, all right? First of all, there's not evidently a great amount of work being put in to keeping track of people going missing, first of all. Second of all, when they say, oh, we've got this map and this is showing all the known cave systems, that's a very big word, known. You know what I mean? Known caves. You know how many fucking caves probably exist out there that are fingers and like runoffs of all these other cave systems that are, you know, fucking running rampant underneath all the grounds? So it just, I don't know, man. Is there, there's some like weird fucking, there's got to be some kind of weird correlation, right? Because, you know, it just seems like it's just too weird to me personally. All these people disappear, and like there's, you know, if you want my honest opinion versus like people just fucking disappearing into portals in National Forest versus people getting lost or taken into caves, I'm gonna vote for the cave side of things. They are un, I mean, there's fucking mind-blowing massive cave systems. Like one of the big ones that some of the articles was talking about and referencing was Mammoth Cave. Oh, excuse me, and how it runs. God, I got like freaking mad heartburn. All the hot cheese I've been eating lately. God, can't get enough of it, man. The if and I will. God, I gotta say it. If you're like in Central Ohio, or if you're in Ohio at all, if you've never had Pearl Valley cheese, you gotta try it. It is delicious. Specifically Jumpin' Jack, if you like a little bit of a kick. But if you get heartburn, you're gonna pay for it. But no, like the thing that goes with like this whole cave, there's so many like fucking, I don't know, dude. There's Like, it just seems wild to me to assume that when you look at like a map of all these games, you'd be like, oh, well, these are all of them. You know what I mean? Like, that's all of them. Like, no, dude, there is so much underground that we probably have no fucking idea about. It's like a fucking ocean, right? And I always feel like I come back to like just talking about like the I don't want to say relevant is not the word I'm looking for, but the similarities between like the fucking vastness of the ocean and how unexplored we are versus the fucking vastness of what's under the dirt, man. There's so much shit out there that people like discover brand new stuff every day or every week or every hour, or every minute probably. But it's just fascinating to me that there's so many things out there that are getting discovered constantly, right? And can you imagine that the amount of stuff getting discovered, it's not being reported or just not, you know, can you imagine the amount of things that people probably discover where there's no means of communication, whether it's they just, you know, it's an indigenous tribe or whatever. Can you imagine, like, and I truly believe that, like, that would be karma's biggest fucking checkmate ever. Like, everybody, like, looking for the what is it? What do they call it? It's like the Fountain of Youth. There we go. Everybody's always, you know, that's always been like a big, oh my God, the Fountain of Youth. Like, the odds of somebody finding like the Fountain of Youth, unless it like magically evolved like it does in movies, to being like, I don't know, a fucking fountain in Madison Square Garden. You know, can you imagine people finding like a tribe or a commune of people finding, a group of people finding something that is inherently fucking important to like civilization, but they're just, you know, they're in some jungle or in some desert or in some fucking secluded piece of wilderness, or they'll never get that out. So yeah, this has been my big, weird, wild tangent on just the fucking crazy world we live in, man. From different mountain ranges to people disappearing. I didn't really have a whole lot planned for this episode. I kind of just wanted to kind of go, I don't know, off grid, off the head. And I mean, I did reference a few articles, but it was just kind of like a shoot in the dark. I've been feeling pretty good about one. I was like, you know what? Fuck it, dude. I'll just sit up here and better than sitting up here watching Dragon Ball Z. We can talk about I don't know. Who knows what? People disappearing. You know, my weird obsession with the fucking deep nature and woods and, you know, just shit going haywire. But yeah, that's all I got for this week. God, I so badly just want to like start fucking dropping an episode of the D&D stuff because I'm so excited for you guys to get in on it. And you can also, I think I talked about this in somewhere or something. Maybe I haven't yet. But either way, the guys over at the Drunken Spear are cooking up a little side series as well that'll be put on to their main podcast channel. So yeah, be on the lookout for that, where we're going to sit around and, you know, maybe start drafting up some, we're going to brainstorm some ideas and then do some, like, you know, let's get people playing D&D episodes, right? Where we're just going to sit down, talk about different characters, just our experiences as DMs, players. It's just kind of like a good round robin discussion, and it should be a lot of fun. I think we've done quite a few episodes back and forth on that channel and this one, so it should be a lot of fun getting everybody together. The more and more that I spend time recording D&D, I've gotten like into like, oh well, you know, now I want to be a part of the writing process, now I want to do this, now I want to do that. So it is just a super cool, it'll just be a cool space for us to all vibe out and just be like, hey, you know, if you want to play, these are some of the things that we use and some of the things that we do. So yeah, be on the lookout for that. And as always, thank you so much for listening, guys. You are awesome, and hopefully you have a great weekend, and I will see you next week. And yeah, who knows from here on out, man? We could be cover. I feel like we're just right back in the swing, man. Like we never got off the bike. So, all right, everybody, I'll see you next week.